Blog Talk Radio.
Have you been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Hello.
Cry for you.
Thank you.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to another edition of the Pastor J. Rouse Life Application Bible Study. I pray you're all well and truly blessed, and we're going to dive in. We've got lots to do. Hope you have your Bibles all set and your Bibles ready. And yes, for the Googlers, you can go ahead and do that as well. Praise God. But as we always say, if you need a Bible, please feel free to contact us. And you can contact us on Facebook, Pastor J. Rouse. And you can also check out PastorJRouse@gmail.com to send us an email. We're also on Twitter. Yes, we tweet like the little bird. And so you can just go to Pastor J. Rouse. Okay. Now, we are back with our life series for our Life Application Bible Studies. We're happy to announce, of course, that this syndication of the Bible study has gone to South Africa, praise God, via True Light Radio. We just want to say hey to our fellow South African friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And this edition will be aired, I believe, on March the 7th, a Saturday afternoon. So, we're going to dive in. We've already done number one, which was, if he is, I am. And then we did number two, which is, he is. And last, we did number three of the live series, and that was purpose, because we have to know our purpose. Now, today, we're going to work on boldness. Now, this, I have to admit, was something I struggled with, and I still do. So keep praying for Pastor Jay. Amen. And so we're going to learn, because we have to have a purpose. And once we know our purpose, then we have to have the boldness to go out and do what we're supposed to do. And that's where it becomes difficult. So that's what we're going to be studying today. I'm excited. I just want to say a good day to my mom, who's joining me live in studio. Hey, Mom. My biggest fan and supporter. I don't know where I'd be without her. It says, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord on my side, but I also know that I need my mom. Praise God. And if you got a mom who supports you, you better treat her right and love her good. Amen. Praise God. And I also want to give a shout out to all of you who continue to be hungry. Amen. Hungry for the word of God and come to be fed. And I'm honored that you would choose to dine with me. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to get moving now. So we'll be right back. We're going to prepare ourselves. And don't forget to check it out on our event page, where we post everything pertaining to scriptures and everything else, and the entire order of our Bible study today in the event page under Pastor J. Rouse. This is Life Application Bible Study, Life Series Part 4. Boldness. And we'll be right back as we prepare. This is Praise Is What I Do by William Murphy. And you know what? I think we need to praise. Amen. Praise is what I do. How about you?
Come on, song goes like this.
Church, I will praise you while I can.
Open your mouth right now and give him what you owe him. Give him what you owe him. Give him what you owe him, church. Yeah. Come on. Praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through. Even when I'm going through. See, I finally learned, church. I've learned to worship.
What I praise my way out. I've had a weekend of nothing but praising my way out. Amen. Praise God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the glorious name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for raising us up this morning. We thank you for the little bit of sunshine that shines upon us, Father God, even through the bitter cold that we undergo right now. Father, we see the warmth and the love of nothing but Jesus. Father, we just ask as we go into your word that you would allow us to open our ears, open our minds, open our eyes so that we may hear, we may feel, we may see, and give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand. But Father, more importantly, I ask that you would bless those who are listening right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bless them for a desire who are thirsty and hungry for your word. Father, I ask that you use me that I may be pleasing and be able to feed your sheep according to the calling. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask for those who may be going through something that you continue to watch over them, continue to strengthen them, continue to keep them. And Father God, we just ask that you continue to guide them through as they go through. Father, let your words be powerful this day. Send a word. Send a lesson. Let us meditate it. Let us do it. And let us go forth and please you while doing so. We ask it now in Jesus' name. And all those who agreed said amen. All right, we're going to get ourselves together. I'm going to be posting some of where we're going to start. So what I will do is we're going to deal with the different types of boldness. And then we will apply the different scriptures so we can apply them to our world. But before we begin, I want you to get yourselves together. Some of our key reading that we're going to be reading from. And the first one will be the book of Acts. So to give you time to get your Bible together, we're going to be reading from Acts 4. This is Say Yes, Michelle Williams featuring Beyonce and Kelly Rowland. And this will help you with your boldness because if God says yes, nobody can say no. We'll be right back when God says yes.
Say no.
All right. So our life series, part four, is boldness. And we're dealing with the different types of boldness. And what I've done is I've created a list of five forms of boldness that we need to have or at least seek and pray on. Amen. Now, what we've done is the first one I've called is fear, the need to overcome it. Now, in Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Now, what that basically means is that it says the wicked flee when no one pursues. You know what? They will run when they think nobody's looking or whatever the case may be. And we'll be scared. But the righteous are bold as a lion because the fact is we have something that they don't have. And it comes through the actual knowledge of being righteous. Through God's righteousness, we are bold as lions. All right, let's dive into this a little bit more. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4, okay? And I hope you're following along. I'm going to give you a few more minutes. You should have been found where you're supposed to go. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 4, and I'm reading from the New International Version. All right. Now, this is a topic dear to my heart, and my mom will laugh when she hears me reading, and she'll understand why, and a couple of my closest friends. Now, this is Peter and John before the Sanhedrin Council, okay? And I'll begin reading. "The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter," listen to this now, "filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected," my, "which has become the cornerstone." I've got to read that. My mom's going to get that. "The stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Amen. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." So now this is the proclamation of salvation. It says, I'll repeat that again, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Now I'll continue. And then it says, "When they saw the courage," repeat, "when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Wow. Now, I'm going to stop there just for a brief moment. Let me explain. Now, this last one in verse 13, when it says, when they saw the courage. Now, remember, they had the upper hand. They were the rulers and the enforcers. That's the word I'm looking for. They were the enforcers of what was considered holy doctrine. The lifestyle one must live under God's rule. And so they could command things. They could arrest these people. They didn't have to have much reason. But the minute they thought they were breaking some sort of biblical law or holy law, according to them, then it was like, wait a minute. Then you know what? We need to make sure that we arrest these people because they're clearly doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And we have authority. There's the word we're looking for. They had authority to be able to arrest them. They weren't really doing anything wrong. They weren't hurting anybody. And you'll notice he says, we were called to account today for an act of kindness. They were just being good, kind people, shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed. So they were being questioned about the fact that they were kind enough and there was somebody lame and then he was healed. To them, it was not according to their laws that they had established. I repeat that again, that they had established. And so they said, well, we're going to lock them up. But notice the change, because authority was in charge according to their rules, their regulations. Now, when you're being kind and you get locked up, it's a little intimidating. I can imagine. I've never been locked up, praise God, and I pray I never have to. But there are many who have been locked up for doing good things and actually being in trouble for just being kind. It is not uncommon. It still happens today. And that's got to be fearful. You would have to be afraid. And then they spoke their mind, but they did it very peacefully, very calmly. And I'm sure they were frightened, very, very, very scared. But there were two things that took place here that you need to be aware of. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. So he's speaking to them. He's saying, those who are in charge, I greet you. We were simply doing a kind act and explaining certain things because, you know, we are here to help the people of Israel. Nothing else. And then while saying that, he let them know the truth, but he wasn't rude about it. And he said, you know, Jesus is a stone you builders reject come the cornerstone. Like, you guys rejected this guy, but you know what? Look at him now. He is key. He is important. And then explained what the importance was. Said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is new for them because they were structured in what they knew. And change is also a form of fear. They themselves now are have a little bit of fear because it's like, wait a minute, we were in charge and we know how things should be and this is how things should be. And now this guy's telling us something different than what we actually already know. That in itself was fear. But you notice Peter only was out of his own fear trying to explain very politely, very kind and most graciously when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. These were not Peter's words. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The next part that we've got to take notice is at number 13, verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John. Where did he get this courage? Oh, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were, listen to this, unschooled, ordinary men. They had come from high up in education. They were powerful. And now they had been humbled in their own fear. Unschooled and ordinary men. Then it says, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Through his fear, he took on the words from the Holy Spirit and was able to address them in a very godly way, to the point that the godly men back then who were in authority now were humbled and had to take a step back because they now felt unschooled and ordinary and were astonished that they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They recognized that there was a deeper and more powerful force with these men, that they themselves were brought down to very little. Now let's continue. In verse 14 it says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say because they knew it was a fact. There was the proof right there. I continue at 15. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right? I'm laughing because my mother's going to hear this too. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? My. It says, you be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. I continue. Now, after further threats, could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Now they can't do anything to these people because now everybody's witnessed it. They know what they witnessed is a fact. It's the truth. They're slowly losing control of what they believe that they were supposed to have full control over. And now they're basically lost. They are basically lost in how to handle the situation because they've lost control. So it says, they could not decide how to punish them. This is a 21, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Now, this next section is important. The believers pray. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now, listen to this prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The king of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. My. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great, wait for it, boldness. That's right. I continue at 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God, wait for it, boldly. All right. What has happened here? They were still a little scared. They were shaken up. I mean, they got released, but they were told, well, we're releasing you, but you can't do what you're supposed to be doing despite what God told you to do. And so they did what they do best. What did they do? They prayed. When fear overcomes you, the best way to deal with it is to pray. And once they started to pray, and they said, like, Father God, like, look, we realize you know all these things are happening, but we don't know what we're supposed to do. So, you know, we need the strength of your hand. And they prayed, now, Lord, consider their threats, because they know this is risky. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They prayed, Father God, allow us to do what you need us to do and be bold about it. They were still afraid. And you notice at the very end in 31, it says after they prayed. You could tell that the presence of the Lord was there, obviously. And it said, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Two things you need to be aware of. One, they prayed. And two, when they prayed for boldness, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to go boldly, as they would say in Star Trek, to go boldly where no man has gone before. Amen. All right. Let us keep moving. All right. So that is fear. And it says also in 2 Corinthians 3:12, you don't need to go there. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Very important. All right. Our second form of boldness that we're going to apply is stepping up and speaking up. The need to stand up for yourself, others, a purpose, or belief. Okay? Sometimes we need to step out of our insecurities and our own fears and our own comfort zone is the good word to look for. And we'll do it willingly, not for ourselves, but sometimes for others. Now let's go to the book of Acts. We're still in the book of Acts, and we're going to go to chapter 28. I'm going to give you a few minutes to try and find your spot. Chapter 28 in the book of Acts. Let me just get over here now. We're not reading the whole thing. I'm going to read part of it. I'm going to be reading from Acts 28, verses 17 until. All right, are we there? Let's see. All right, Paul preaches at Rome under guard. I'll begin and you can follow along, and I recommend it. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people have come from there, reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning until evening. Aren't you glad I don't preach for you that long? And then it says, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Now at 24 it says, some were convinced, but he said, but others would not believe. And that's usual. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement, which was, "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet." Here's what it says. "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving." My, my, my. "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Now, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all ready boldness and without hindrance. Now, you're all going, "Yeah, Pastor Jay, what does that have to do with it?" I'm going to tell you. He came back to his own people and realized that they too would have to learn new things, much like the Sanhedrin Council had to and the Sadducees. But he wanted to clear his name because he wanted his people to not only understand what he was doing and why he was doing it, but he needed them to understand for their own sake. He was bold to them because he cared. He was also bold because he believed in a purpose of what he was doing. He came with great boldness to his own people. I remember at the beginning when I read, he said, he didn't want to come and cause any problems for them, and he certainly didn't want to bring their name into any mess. That was basically my words explaining it, very biblical. But he was saying to them, "Look, I don't want to cause you trouble, and I hope I haven't, and I need you to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing." Because he cared about his people. He was stepping up for them and standing up for them. He wanted to help change them and help them to learn new knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And he also believed in the fact that it says in verse 28, "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." He is coming to the Jews to explain to them that he has confirmation by God that you and I and everybody else who is a Jewish has an entitlement to God's salvation. He was bold and standing up for a purpose and for a cause. That is number two, stepping up and speaking. The need to stand up for yourself, others, a purpose, or belief. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's keep moving here. Now, the third is very obvious. Now we're going to go to the book of Joshua. I'm going to give you a few minutes. We're going to be reading from Joshua 1, which is one of our main and key Bible scriptures today. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes to take a look at it. Now we've already dealt with overcoming fear and what we need to do to overcome the fear. Then we've dealt with how we deal with standing up for others and our beliefs and a purpose and for a cause. Now, the next one, number 3 on our list, is boldness to take charge, leadership, and control. All right, let's get to Joshua, the first chapter. And I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read 1 to 11 and 16 to 18, and I'll begin. Now, this section is called Joshua Installed as Leader. Can we get any more obvious than that? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Now, do you see why I play that song? When God says yes, no one can say no. Amen. And I'll continue. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God giving you for your own. Now, one thing I want to draw to your attention. First of all, he got his walking papers, his instructions. And Joshua, poor Joshua, Joshua's had to tackle many things in the Bible where he was given lots of instructions. And if he didn't do it properly, he was in trouble. I don't want to talk about there were battles in Jericho and all kinds of stuff. If he didn't do it as many times as the Lord said and do it when he said to do it, it would not have happened. He now has orders. But he also has been not only given orders of what he needs to do, but he has been told that he should do it and know that God is with him, that God has told him, and that God will continue to allow the promise that he made to go through. Important things to take note of. One, God gave the instruction. Two, if God said it, then it has to happen, and it will happen, because God will always finish what he starts to the end, because he has a purpose for everything he does. Three, God told him, this is how many times it says, in 6, be strong and courageous. In 7, be strong and very courageous. And in 9, be strong and courageous. 3 times. He told Joshua, and I want to think that there's something biblical to that. 3 times. We've got the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 3 times. So it's almost as though he was told 3 times, but then I start to wonder, did each of them tell him? Amen. 3 cord that cannot be broken. Amen. Definitely biblical. But he was reminded 3 times to be strong and very courageous. It said to be careful to obey the law. That was 1. Okay, the second one where he said, be strong, said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the third one, he says, where is it? Going through. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. He had a promise he had to fulfill. So these are like guarantees. If you do these things, I'm going to make sure you'll be okay, but you got to be strong and courageous and know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have a per plan and it will go through. And also, here's the other reason. You shouldn't be afraid because you know what? You shouldn't be discouraged because I am with you wherever you go. When you have to take on leadership, it's never fun. But you have to do what you have to do, and therefore you have to know your purpose of why you're doing it, the guarantees of the result of doing it, and knowing that you're not doing it alone. Now we'll continue on this chapter at verse 16. It says, then they answered Joshua. I like this. This is his, he's the leader, and this is his followers now. You notice that wording. Because if I'm leading, somebody's got to follow. Amen. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatsoever you may command them, will be put to death. My. Only, again, one more time, be strong and courageous. So now the people he was told he was going to lead, they too have heard from God. And they said, okay, we will follow you. You will be our leader, and we will do everything you said as long as we know it is the same concept that Moses had. Moses had the strength of the Lord. Moses had support. Moses was godly. Moses was everything that they could accept in a leader. And so they said, as long as you are like that, then we will do whatever you want. We will even put to death those who don't follow you. My. That's some serious leadership enforcement. And then they said at the end, only be strong and courageous. You cannot be the leader, expect people to follow you, and you yourself look like you don't have things under control, and you are terrified, and they can tell. That is not a good thing. And so my touch on this is boldness to follow instructions, obedience, and leadership, all found in Joshua 1. Amen. All right, now we've come to number 4 on our list, and I'm going to get you ready. We want to turn to the very front of our book of the Bible, and then we're going to the book of Exodus. So you've got Genesis and Exodus, okay? Exodus 3. I'm going to give you a moment to turn to Exodus 3. Now, number 4 on our list, we're almost done. Number 4 on our list, I've labeled as comfort, confidence, and ability to overcome weakness, such as insecurities and the like. We all have some insecurities, and we all have some things that we lack confidence in, and comfort. I said comfort because sometimes we just don't want to come out of our comfort zone. So we're going to read a little bit more in Exodus 3 how we're going to overcome that. So I'm going to start reading Exodus 3. There's a little story. I want to give you some background, then we're going to skip through, so you'll have to follow along real closely. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord up to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. It did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Now, I like to call that little line, those two little lines in verse 4, the calling. Amen. Any minister out there will agree with me. I'm going to read that again. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Amen. I continue at 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. See, God identified himself. He knew this man who's talking to me from this burning bush clearly knows my ancestors who have passed on the same God. And because he recognized that, he was able to recognize the Lord. Amen. We keep reading in number 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, I like this. Now remember, we already got the calling. Now he's being sent on his commission. It says, so now go. And I like that. You notice, if you've got the same version I do in verse 10, it says, so now go, period. It doesn't say to continue on. It just says, so now go. The Great Commission right there. Amen. The next sentence says, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, 11, he says, but Moses said to God, here is the first insecurity. Are you ready for this? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Okay, here we go again. Moses says to God, next insecurity, suppose I go to the Israelites. You know, he goes, suppose, what if God? Like, God never considered these things. But he says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Well, now he's afraid of looking foolish. Another insecurity. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And giving him more instruction, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. So God already knows how things are going to go. Remember, he was thinking, okay, Moses said, well, what if, you know, if I go and they don't know what I'm talking about? Or what if they say, who are you? And what if I say, who's this God? What am I supposed to tell them? But God knows everything. He even knows that they're not going to let him go. He knows every single thing I tell you. But you see, it's important. Let's finish this off at 21. And I will make the Egyptians favorable, disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. Now, that's important because we saw lots of insecurities. And one of the things you don't see in here is that it is commonly known that Moses, he stuttered. So he's not only got to go and speak somebody very powerful and highly educated. These people sent their people out of the country and away from where they were in Egypt for education. They were very well educated so they could come back and run Egypt. And so he now has to go and speak to these. Some of the other things that we have to mention for those who don't know the background, other than the fact that he had this fear of this burning bush, he had a fear of the unknown. He had insecurities. He was no longer powerful in Egypt because he used to be there. He was one of the big sons, almost a king, a pharaoh in Egypt. And then when he found out his birthright, he became nothing but an Israelite. He was no more powerful than the slaves that he once even ruled over. He knew this. More importantly, before he left Egypt, he killed an Egyptian who was basically abusing an Israelite. And so he was a wanted man. He was now about to go back to the place where he was wanted, where he had ruled and was shamefully disgraced because now he was to find out that there was a secret, that he was basically an Israelite. And that's all on top of the fact that he stuttered and was insecure and was nervous and a little intimidated by the power that he had to go and speak to these people as though he was God all himself. But that was the key thing right there. He was not God all himself, but he had God with him. And that's the key. When God tells you what to do, God already knows what's going to happen. God has already foretaken and foretook every single thing into account. God knows the hearts of his people. You notice he said, and I'm going to do this and this and this and tell them this and tell them that and tell them this, but they're not going to let him go. Now, if it was me, God would have a hard time because I'd be like, okay, so why am I even going? But God said, but however, I will still have this happen. So you need to remain there for more instruction because he's going to make sure that he puts his hands of power upon him. And the Israelites are going to feel it to the point that he's not even going to just get to take the Israelites out of Egypt, but he's going to take them with all kinds of riches. Can you imagine? Tell the neighbors and the wives and everybody living in their household, those who have silver and gold and clothes, you're going to take it. And he's letting him know, they're not going to let you go initially, but I know exactly how this is going to come out. And in the end, they're going to not only let you go, but you get to take all kinds of stuff with you because it's for your ancestors. Amen? God would not send you. Remember, he said, now go. Amen. And I love that. I love that period. Now go. Then after he did a full stop is when he gave his instructions. When God calls you, he tells you to go. You just have to wait to hear where he wants you to go. And when he has you go, you have to know that he already knows what's going to happen. That is why, much like Joshua, you have to follow his instructions to a T. Because if you decide, man, this God, he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm just going to go ahead and do my own thing because I'm sure I could get this done on my own. It's not going to go accordingly because God has a purpose and he knows exactly who's going to say no, who's going to say no when, and what's going to take place. And that's why you have to be obedient and stay where God tells you to stay, go when God tells you to go, stand up when God tells you to stand up, and be bold and courageous and stand with God. You cannot do anything on your own. Amen. Praise God. I'm having fun. All right. Now we've come to our last one. We've overcome comfort, confidence, and ability to overcome weaknesses such as insecurities and the like. Now, number five is our last one on the list. I call this ultimate boldness. Out of blind faith and belief in all that God does. Let's turn to the book of Samuel. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Give you some time. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the last one, as I said on the list, ultimate boldness out of faith, blind faith, not just faith, out of blind faith. My, that's even stronger. We'll discuss that sometime in Bible study. And belief in all that God does, instills in you, has for you, and will have you do without failure. I like that part. I got to read that last bit. That he has for you and will have you do without failure. Now, we already know Moses did not have that kind of ultimate boldness. But we're going to talk about somebody who really did. And it's a very common story. And, you know, children know this story, and it's very important, but I'm going to read on it, and we're going to see why this young man had ultimate boldness. We're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to start at verse 20. Try and keep it together because I'll be moving all around. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brother how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine's champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. There's that fear thing again. Number 25. Now, the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who killed him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from Israel." My. Could you imagine in your country now? You get great wealth. You get the king's daughter in marriage and you get exempt from taxes. I think we all just want to be exempt from taxes. Amen. Praise God. That in itself will save us a lot of money. I read on in 26. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" My. David's a little whippersnapper, isn't he? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who killed him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave these few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. My. Now he sounds like a little child, amen? Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Did you hear that one? Go. The Great Commission once again. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Wow. Keep reading. 38. Then Saul dressed David in his tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. This is a little shepherd boy. He's not used to wearing warrior gear. All right, he says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch in his shepherd and his sling in his hand, and approached the Philistine. So remember, he's not even wearing, I'm going to say this because we're going to deal with this in another Bible study, the armor of the army. Come on now, you know where I'm going. All right, number 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. I like that one. And handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I'll give you flesh to the birds, your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. So now you've got to notice Goliath is using tactics. Intimidation tactics, because this one didn't run, and he's younger than all the rest, and just a little boy, basically, a little shepherd boy. Number 45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me, the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Now, this little boy is bold. He is beyond bold. Most people probably would have called him precocious. Amen. In today's society, we would say he was talking smack because he thought, well, if this Goliath giant can intimidate people by speaking to them and putting fear in them, he was going to do the same thing. Amen. Number 47, he says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly, listen, toward the battle line to meet him. The Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath. He didn't even have his own sword. He had to take the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath, and he killed him and cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Amen. Praise God. That, my people, is called blind faith, ultimate boldness. He believed in the God that he served. He believed in the power that God gave him. He believed in the strength. And he knew that if God told him to go and do it, then he should do it. And he didn't run towards him. He didn't run from him. He didn't go wearing what everybody else would wear because he had something else. He had an armor of God. Okay, we're going there. He had a different type of helmet and shield and sword. Amen. Praise God. He knew that if he went and did it and God was with him, he wasn't going to fail because he knew that God had sent him. And once again we say, and what God instills and does in you, what God has for you and will have you do without failure. Amen. Praise God. We'll be right back, and then we'll have some closing thoughts and words. Praise God. This is Let the Church Say Amen, written by Andre Crouch and performed by Marvin Winans. We'll be right back.
I want to introduce to you right now a close friend and brother. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Winans. Be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church, about to die,
amen.
Knowing
Different types of situations where you need to apply your boldness. And it's so important that you remember. But if nothing else, if you can't remember all that was said today, firstly, you cannot do anything alone. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You need to pray up and pray. You need to seek the Lord. You need to hear his direction. And then you need to follow exactly what he says to a T. And then you'll be able to be bold to overcome anything and all. And even if you feel you can't, just know that God is with you and bringing you through it. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but you have to remember those things. Prayer. You need the Holy Spirit, so you need to make sure that you're not doing anything alone, and you need to follow God's instructions exactly as he would have you do. If you'd look to the left or look to the right and you're not focused on where he has sent you or what he has asked you to do, then things may not necessarily go the way you want, because that's not the plan that God has. And the only way to do things the right way is to do things with the right God. Amen. Praise God. We'll be right back. This is Put It on the Altar by Jessica Reedy.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh, oh, oh. Let me hear you say, oh, oh, oh. It's been a real hard couple of months. You had enough. But it's been hard for everyone, you're not alone. You've been hurting way too long, let it go and just move on. Make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there. It's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be
alright, it's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be alright. So everything that you've been worried about,
yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over, leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
Put it on the altar.
You need him to work it out. He'll work it out.
Put it on the altar.
and he knows all about it. And he's gonna do what he promised you. Oh yeah, see everything that you've been worried about. You need him to work it out. He'll work it out. All of your burdens, bring them all down. You're gonna get an answer to your prayer if you. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's all you need to put it on.
Nothing else, we've learned that we have to be bold. Series number 5 in our live series will be next month, middle of the month again, and it's called Gifted. Yes, we're going to start dealing with the gifts, because now that we know who we are, whose we know our purpose, we are now learning how to be bold about our purpose, and now we have to find out the gifts that we have to go forth, that God has already given us to allow us to continue to see and fulfill his purpose. Amen. Thank you for joining us again once more. I had a great time. I don't know about you. I enjoyed myself. So let's seek the Lord now as we depart from here, but not his grace. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to read your word and for us to be able to retain it. Let it be pleasing that we would obey and hear and do all that you have asked and what we've learned in our lesson today. We thank you for feeding us. We are filled and full of energy, and we have now got the power to go forth and continue to do your blessing. As we prepare to do our continued work for the rest of our day and to head into our week, Father, we just ask that you continue to watch over us, bless us, keep us, sustain us, provide and supply, and allow your grace and mercy to be ever sufficient for each and every one of us now. And all those agreed, we said, amen. Praise God. Thank you again. Here's a reminder. This is Be Bold by Ty Bolden, and then The Name by Mally Music. God keep you. God be with you. And God be with you until we meet again. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I.
Everybody ready?
Amen.
I've got to be bold. Gotta be. Be
Okay, I've always heard the name, y'all. The old folks tried to warn me. I thought I knew what they were talking about, because I've always heard the story, but never felt it for myself, y'all. Well, until just the other day, when something happens in my spirit, every time I say that name, that name is
Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus.
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 Say the name Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
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 Jesus. Oh, call him by
name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
What's the name?
Jesus.
Yes, it is. Churches sing the blood songs like it'll never lose its power. I hear the people say they need the Lord every minute, every hour, but I never felt it for myself, y'all. Well, until just the other night, I called the name of Jesus, and afterwards I felt alright. Yeah, it was like a cool breeze blowing on the inside of water, rushing in my body, a fire burning away everything that I don't need and making me right. It was too real to act like it wasn't happening. Happened too fast for me to suppress it. And after that I tried my eyes and I couldn't stop smiling, cause the whole time mother was right. When I called
Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus,
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 what's the name?
Jesus,
say the name.
Jesus,
the Holy Lamb.
Jesus,
that was slain.
Jesus,
Jesus,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh.
Jesus,
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 yeah,
Jesus,
oh Jesus,
Jesus,
and I can call
Jesus.
Him anytime,
Jesus,
and if I'm ever in a situation and I might fall down, He'll be your friend, He'll be around. Oh, He's something like a strong tower. Yeah, He could take away the pain, and if you want His power, you gotta call His name, and His name is Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.